Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks. With me, as always, is the amazing Chris Oakes.
Hello.
And the fantastic Sue Skepner.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
There we go. Hello. Which I think is better than amazing.
Yeah, got it, everyone.
I know my place.
Yeah. How you guys been?
Good, thanks.
Yeah.
I was late today.
Yes, you were late today.
Because I don't know whether a prank was played on me or whether he was just succumbing to the ravages of age.
Okay.
But some daft old bloke told me that the bus had gone when it hadn't. So I left the bus stop, started walking to do a plan B, and then the bus that he told me had left, I was waiting on, drove right past.
Did he and give you the V's as he drove past, like, whee?
No, he wasn't on the bus.
Oh,
he was
right.
Coming the other way.
Oh, okay.
And this is why I had no reason to doubt him, because he was coming from the way the bus would have gone, so he would have seen it.
Oh, I see.
But when the bus went past, I did say out loud, what the f-?
did he ask you to watch your language after that?
He wasn't there.
Oh, okay.
He wasn't on the bus.
This old man doesn't live by my side and come with me everywhere.
I think Chris made him up.
If you're saying that it's a prank, him not sticking around to see the end of the prank kind of rules him out for it being a prank.
I don't know, though. I think he'd probably be like, the bus hasn't really gone.
Yeah.
I think that's all. That was enough for him.
Yeah.
Well, he goes over
if it was a prank. Otherwise, he would have just been saying it for the sake of it.
It's a mystery that we can solve.
We have solved.
Well, weirdly, this is today's episode.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm very, preoccupied.
It's a pretty
about
low key one.
Yeah,
the mystery of the old guy who tricks people into getting on the bus.
Hey, I don't know what order Jack's going to put these out, right?
Yeah.
But you know how I found one from my hometown?
Yeah.
I found another one from my
hometown. Oh yeah, I saw this.
So that's going to happen
at some
point.
That's a pretty terrifying one. Suze, what have you been doing?
Mostly being on time.
Yeah, nice.
Not blaming the old.
By on time, she means early.
Ramona
like
Stokes blaming the elderly for all the ills of the world. Yeah, I'm all right. Been watching a lot of BBC Parliament.
What do you call it?
Brixflix.
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 Oh, Brixflix.
I watched in its entirety the 1959 election coverage on BBC Parliament the other night.
Why?
It was riveting. You know how it's on for like 16 hours now we have an election?
Yeah.
Dimbleby stays up all night. Well, his dad used to do it. Yeah. And I was watching going, oh, I can't wait till it's like 6 a.m. because they're all fighting. They're all annoyed with each other.
Right.
And they're all smoking and drinking in the studio. And then it got to 3 a.m. and they said, well, I think at this point it would be wise to go to sleep for 4.5 hours and return at 8 a.m. and breakfasted. And then they just went, good night.
Was there like rudimentary graphics?
Yeah, it was rubbish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, little cartoons of the front bench. And they were, this is what the front bench might look like.
Because you know how it's like nightmare now?
Yeah.
I just wandering through like a virtual
jumping set. Over bar charts. Yeah. Anyway, wait a second.
Hang on.
Who's that going? Is that the door? It's hammering on the window.
Is that Jenny Bead?
Oh my God. Come out of the blizzard. Come out of the blizzard.
Mystery on the rocks. Yeah. Mystery on the rocks. Yeah.
Hi guys.
Hello.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for coming into the bar.
Let's mix up a drink.
Yes. Thank you, yes,
you're
please.
Very, very welcome.
Barman's choice.
How are you, Jenny?
Actually, it'd be so cool if one of our guests just comes in and orders off the bat and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Pina colada, please.
I love a pina colada.
I could mix this rum with a bit of bitters.
Are you a cocktail fan, Jenny?
I don't think so. No.
You're on the right show.
I am, rather, but I don't know much about them. I just know what tastes yummy and what's not for me.
That's the same with me. I'm like, make sure they taste like sweets. Same as dude, what have you just served up for us?
This is a happy / sad girl.
Oh my God, you named it after us. Thank you.
You know our work.
But it was because there was a / in there. I think the gimmick is that you get to choose which.
Okay.
Is it gin?
It is tequila.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Mm.
Smells incredible. It smells like coconut hand cream.
Mm. Mornings.
Morning.
Tequila and hand cream.
Smells like morning.
That's my favorite morning. So in here we've got tequila, we've got cherry liqueur, we've got lime, and we've got ice.
Yep.
You just made water. It.
You're welcome.
I know I just made it, but I also had some of it.
Oh,
ginger syrup.
Ginger syrup.
I tell you what.
It's delicious.
The cherry liqueur is very nice, but you don't get it straight away.
I don't know where the fuck I was getting coconut from. Maybe it's just my hand cream.
You shouldn't drink it with your hands.
Yeah. I like to pour it into my hands and lick it up like a prehistoric animal in a documentary.
Like a cat eating it out of your own hand.
A prehistoric animal in a documentary.
Yeah, you know, when they open like CG prehistoric animal drinking out of a water hole, that's me drinking a cocktail.
This is a drink from a cocktail book called The Brooklyn Bartender. So it's not like a traditional cocktail or anything. It's just one that a bartender...
Someone's made up
from a bar called Number 7, which is in Brooklyn. So if you're ever there, go and drink there.
Mm. So what's your verdict on the drink?
I think it's really lovely. Mm-hmm. I can't taste the ginger, which is concerning to me because I normally got quite a good palate.
I can taste nothing but the ginger on the first sip.
The ginger syrup is super strong because basically all I did was like just mash up ginger and then put a bit of sugar in it and that's it. So like I blended it until it was a liquid and then just added sugar to it and then that's ginger syrup.
I'm getting the spice.
I got it there now that I did that bit.
Today, this one is called The Lady of the Dunes. You know about The Lady of the Dunes?
Lady of the Dunes. I was like,
oh, that's us.
No, that's Susan.
Right, okay.
Both of us.
The Dunes with
the
a D.
The Dunes.
Yes.
Dunes
no.
With
a D. Tell me more, please. Mm. When you finish the joke.
Got anything else?
In your own time.
So on July the 26th, 1974, a teenage girl found a woman's body decomposing.
Always a dead woman.
Yards away. It isn't. I did the maths, actually. I said to Suze, I was like, oh, no, it's another dead woman for this one. And then Suze was
people love to kill us.
And then Suze was like, oh, well, you know. And then I did the maths, and actually, of all the episodes so far, we've done 5 dead women and about 14 dead men.
Yes.
And then 5 miscellaneous. Or something.
Oh yeah, like 5 kind of odd, strange.
Oh, Coral Castle.
The remains were just yards away from the road and had a significant amount of what it says here, insect activity.
Ah, that's horrible.
So 2 sets of footprints led to the body, and tire tracks were found 50 yards from the scene, and they believe the woman may have died 2 weeks before her body was found. But to this day, they haven't been able to identify who it was. So she's a Jane Doe, and that's why she's got the name Lady of the Dunes, because there were sand dunes nearby. It was in Massachusetts, Provincetown, at the Race Point Dunes. And because this case has been so, like, baffling for so long, she's actually been exhumed 3 times.
Bloody hell.
Try and work out more about her and what's happened and who might have done it. She was missing some of her teeth. Some of the teeth that remained were very expensive dental work.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
So she's well-to-do.
What do they call them? They called them New York-style teeth.
New York-style teeth.
Right.
Some of her teeth were missing, but also she was missing a hand on one arm and then the forearm of the other arm.
Yeah. She sold them for teeth.
Fingerprints weren't, so no one could identify her. So it's as if they were getting rid of...
Or if she'd scratched them.
Oh, bloody hell.
And they had DNA under her fingernails.
Yeah, either they were trying to protect their own identity or, like, they didn't want the body to be identified.
Yeah, although no DNA in the 70s.
So the teeth that she had, DNA didn't exist.
And, well, they've sent it to different dentists and apparently they've ruled out 50 people, which isn't a lot.
It's really not a lot. I think there's millions more.
Loads of people.
Yeah, guys, you want to ask some more people.
well, it wasn't any of us. We've done 50 and it's a long old process and it's quite expensive, so I reckon we're just going to call it quits.
In 45 years, they've eliminated 50 people who she could possibly be.
And they've exhumed her body 3 times.
3 times. Once in 1980, once in 2000, and once in 2013.
What's the gap in those? Is there like, is there another date? They're going to like, let's try it again. Let's dig her up again.
Let's dig up the lady.
It's getting more and more often. So 1980 to 2000 is 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
2000 to 2013 is 13 years.
So minus
another 7. Let's say next year.
So next year, they're going to go, it was Amelia Earhart.
Is it a bad or good thing? Because I think, oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Because no one knows. But then also, knowing that someone that you love has like, met a horrific end, maybe it's better not to know.
Well, that's 45 years, you can just go,
She probably died with all her hands.
They reckon she could have been killed up to 2 weeks beforehand. Mm. So she was already...
Beforehand.
Hey, hello.
She was already decomposing. She could be been as young as 20 or as old as 49.
So how badly decomposed was she? It's only 2 weeks.
I know. Well,
but there's a lot of insect activity.
They've been eating her.
At least 2 weeks. Like, okay, it could have been longer than that.
Oh, I see. Okay, right.
She was 5'6". She weighed 145 pounds, apparently, had an athletic build, red hair.
Oh, shit.
As if Sue was 5'6".
I've got... Oh, shit.
There we go, second fuller.
Stayed on my seat, listeners.
So she was buried in October. She was found in July and she was buried in October, and that's when the case went cold. This is quite nice. One of the case investigators raised funds in 2014, 5 years ago, raised funds for a new casket because the original thin metal casket had been rusted and deteriorated.
That is nice.
Why are they burying her in a thin metal casket?
Because they don't know who she was, so there was no one to pay for the funeral. It would have been a pauper's
funeral. Oh, right. Oh,
funeral,
so they just chuck him in a... I just watched Chernobyl. I'm like, she wasn't irradiated, was she? They didn't just chuck her in a zinc fucking coffin and bury her in concrete.
And were there people in the area that had been missing?
They've gone missing. Well, the police looked at that. They looked through all of the people. All the
are they the 50 people that have been ruled
out? No, that was the dentist. The dentist. people. The police pulled through thousands of missing person cases and a list of actually approved vehicles driven through the area, and no matches were found. When she was found, it was at the scene. She was face down on sort of like a beach blanket.
Yeah.
And underneath her head, she had a bandana on, a blue bandana, and underneath her head were a pair of jeans as well, Wrangler jeans.
Her jeans?
Her own jeans?
Yeah, well, she was not wearing jeans.
Was she wearing anything?
Reports differ. Some say that she was nude. Others don't mention it. But the jeans were underneath her head.
Like a pillow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
No signs of a struggle. Either
she gave up her hands willingly.
But either she knew the killer.
I don't need them.
Either she knew the killer, or the hands were taken after she was killed.
Oh yeah, they chop them off. Yeah.
Or she was asleep. Two sets of footprints were leading to where the body was found.
Oh, one was Jesus.
Do you reckon?
Oh, well, okay.
That's the story, isn't it?
That's that lovely proverb about footsteps.
There were two lots of footsteps.
It's because I was carrying you.
Oh, thanks, Jesus. Yeah. Well, then who were the others then? You were carrying me, you prat.
Just one of my mates. How long are you going to keep carrying him for? For a bit.
Oh, he's full of shit, Jesus.
So how many... Wait, there were two towards it, and how many walking away
leaving
from it?
Yeah, because then that would assume that the person would just, like, go back in his own footsteps, his or her own footsteps as they leave the scene. Like Danny in The Shining.
Flown out somehow.
It just says two sets of footprints led to the body. The injuries on the body, obviously the...
Hands gone.
The hands were missing and the teeth were taken out, which was probably post-mortem.
But the least expensive teeth were taken.
Yeah, which is weird, isn't it? Because the ones that were left were apparently like worth about $5,000.
Okay.
Which is a lot of money in 1970.
Fucking hell.
It's a lot of money now.
And then take them and put them in their own mouths.
No, but they could
sell the teeth.
Could they?
Yeah, who are you fencing teeth?
Who's buying secondhand teeth?
Gold teeth.
Could you not melt the gold?
Are they definitely gold teeth? I mean, for $5,000, I probably wouldn't put $5,000 worth of gold in my mouth. I'd put a tooth. If I'm paying $5,000 for teeth,
that's now.
I want the tooth to look like a tooth, not
now
be like.
We can make it.
It's got a plasma screen in it. I don't give a shit about that. So the expensive teeth are in her mouth still. So the cheap teeth are gone.
So the real ones, the ones where there's a chance of DNA.
But I think like enough.
Oh, so there we go. Mm. Hey, nice spot. That's really good, actually. Yeah, all of the actual proper identifying.
So the ones that... Yeah, but also aren't crowns as identifying as a fingerprint? Because dental records, the teeth have to be molded and stuff. But she had a head injury, which is probably what killed her. She was almost decapitated, possibly from strangulation.
What?
I thought you said there was no struggle.
Why did they decapitate her from strangling her? Who was it? Edward Scissorhands?
Hey, hello.
levity.
I think she might have been strangled with wire.
So it was a grotting.
Yeah, but it was apparently the head injury that killed her.
What do we know about her pre this?
Nothing.
Absolutely not.
Because no one knows who she is. No one knows who she is.
So there's no leads.
Zero leads. One appeared about 4 years ago in August 2015. Stephen King's son was watching Jaws.
Yeah.
And spotted an extra in one of the big scenes who matched the description of the and some of the photo fits of the Lady of the Dunes.
Yeah.
Wearing the bandana, the Wrangler jeans.
What?
And Jaws was filmed in 1974 in Massachusetts. Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. That is this story. And that's so recent. That he noticed it.
August 2015.
Yeah.
Yes. I was doing my Edinburgh debut.
Oh, congrats.
Busy year for everyone.
And it was called Lady of Dunes.
It's a good show.
How I did it.
So this is interesting. I think it says a lot about Stephen King's son that he had this information filed away relatively on the surface as well to be thinking about it whilst he was watching Jaws. And also, who watches... How old is he?
Stephen King's in his 70s,
I'm not sure, but he's...
Probably his 40s.
He brought it to the police attention and they took it seriously. He learnt of the case, the Lady of the Dunes, after reading a book called The Skeleton Crew, How Amateur Sleuths Are Solving America's Coldest Cases.
Hey.
That's where he found the case and was aware of it. And obviously there's probably would have been, look, so there's these photo fits have been made. So yeah, he would have looked at the photo fit and also the bandana and the blue Wrangler jeans. He spotted her in this scene. Is it called the July the 4th?
Yeah, there's like a huge beach scene. Yeah.
The one where he shouts out for the shark and it's not in the water. Yeah. And
was it her? Was it the girl going, it's going into the pond?
I don't think she had any lines.
But that's, I think, do you know what? It checks out because, like, people, when you're an extra, you have to take your own clothes. So it would be hers.
And the other thing is,
she wouldn't be local, possibly, because she'd go, oh, I'd love to be in a big film and travel to go.
Where that was filmed apparently was.
And extras are basically nobodies, right? I mean, you could kill a whole bunch of them and no one.
Normos, I call them.
But apparently it was quite a way away from where she was found. However, however, it's the same state.
Right. Yeah, and you're not going to dump it like a, there you go, leave it on the set, covered in crabs. There's a hand right at the beginning of the film. They find a hand on the beach covered in crabs.
Oh my God, do you think Steven Spielberg did it?
I think he did.
What if the shark was real?
Oh.
And he just popped her into the shark.
I call the shark Jaws. The film about Jaws the shark.
I think everyone calls the shark Jaws. I don't think you're alone in that. I've definitely called the shark Jaws.
When I watch the film, I go, watch out, guys. Jaws the shark's about.
I like, because in the second one, it's Jaws' mother, I think. No, it's Jaws' no, it's
kid.
No, it's Jaws' son or daughter.
In Jaws, in the Jaws 4, Jaws, the Jaws, Revenge.
Jaws Jr. would have been a better title.
Jaws Jr. In Jaws 4, the Revenge, Michael Caine gets eaten by the shark. They blow it up and he swims to the surface and goes, cool, that shark's breath done off stink.
No, what? I haven't seen that movie all the way through.
Jaws 4, the Revenge is...
Well, he gets swallowed but then he still makes it.
They blow up the shark. And there's also the mum from the first film, Rob Schneider's...
Wife.
Rob Schneider, David Schneider's wife. She's in it. And
why did you say David Schneider?
David. He's a man.
It's Rob Schneider. But
it's
Rob Schneider.
It's Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider, not Rob Schneider, who
Rob Schneider is in Juice Bigelow.
He works with Adam Sandler. No,
and he's
an anti-vaxxer.
He's all anti-vaxxer and kind of anti-trans and like...
Yeah.
So he
doesn't get to be in this film. But the wife keeps having flashbacks to the first film, to them on the boat going like, oh God, that shark.
But
like,
she wasn't there.
No, you weren't there, love. You weren't there. Congratulations, movie makers. You got the rights to those scenes, but...
How could you have a flashback to something that didn't happen to you? Unless your husband told you about it. And even you have a flashback to him going, and then we were sat there, and Quint said that he was on a boat.
I'd like to
and
100 see...
men went into the water, and only 10 came out, or whatever the fucking line.
I'd like to see a cut of Jaws 4, The Revenge, where her flashbacks are her in the kitchen in the first film.
Just her hanging about, doing stuff.
She's just as haunted, but they're just really benign.
It's just the kids are doing her head in. That little one going, do you know the Muffin Man?
And it's like, and it's that thing where like they overlay it, so she's like having like a, you see her just like shaking her head and just being like, oh, but it's really nice, pleasant scenes on top of it.
It's like Martin Sheen in Apocalypse Now.
Yes,
The actual flashbacks are just paddling on the beach and having fun.
This is the end.
I watched one of the new Terminator films the other day and someone had a flashback to a memory that wasn't his.
Even though they've been able to identify her, and obviously the case went cold in 1974, that does not mean there haven't been suspects.
How so?
Based on witness testimony, somebody says that a woman matching the description was seen with a mobster with the unfortunate name of James Bulger.
Whitey Bulger?
What's that?
Whitey Bulger.
Whitey Bulger from The
Bulger.
Departed.
Yeah, so Whitey Bulger is a suspect in this case.
Jaws,
we've got The Departed.
Bloody hell, this is quite
Whitey
a movie.
Whitey Bulger is a
Juice
pretty
Bigelow
big monster.
We've got
all the greats.
Oh, Rob Schneider's getting involved.
So all they've got is a sighting of her with this person.
Somebody says that there was a sighting, but also what Whitey Bulger used to do and his cronies, when they killed somebody, would remove the teeth.
Oh.
Yeah. So that kind of...
He was like a mob hitman, wasn't he?
He was a big old
Boston.
Yeah.
Also, he used to frequent a gay club.
Classic Whitey Bulger.
Good for him.
So in 1981, investigators learned that a woman who resembled the victim was seen with mobster Whitey Bulger around the time that the woman presumably died. And he was known for removing victims' teeth. No link to him was proven, though. And even though he ended up going to prison for other crimes, he was murdered in prison in 2018.
Oh, really? Oh, it's recently, is that?
Yeah, I didn't realise that either. There was also a serial killer operating in the area called Tony Costa.
Good old Tony.
You know him?
Good old, yeah, good old, good old TC.
Big fan of his coffee.
So he was...
No one's ever just one thing, are they?
You can't arrest me. I'm the Costa Coffee guy.
Hey, I'm keeping you awake, you motherfuckers.
But there's something that he was eliminated, and the reason for that is that he died on May the 12th of the year that the body was found.
Okay.
Could he have died in the interim between when it was killed and found?
It was killed.
No, don't. Wow. So I'm sitting here going, this is really tragic. I don't know why we're all laughing.
Well, she was found.
Mystery on the
rocks. She was found in July. Like, he died in May. That's 2 months beforehand. Where she was found, there's some supposition that maybe she was killed elsewhere and dumped. There was some, it would happen now, if somebody released a photo fit of a dead body that was found and no one knew who it was, I think people would recognise somebody that they knew that had gone missing. Loads of people.
Facebook.
Like that happened with the one we did with Nick Helm. But basically somebody came along and said, oh, that's my missing sister.
Were they from whatever fictional part of England that you made up?
No, they were from Maryland.
Okay. I've not been, so I imagine they all sound like that, right?
Yeah. No. In 1987, they received a call from a Maryland woman who thought the lady who might have been her sister, who went missing the same year. And according to the woman, she lost touch with her sister after she relocated to Boston.
Okay.
Which is Massachusetts.
So, and my Bulger
was a Boston guy.
He was Boston.
So, according to the Provincetown's police chief who received this tip, he told the woman to send him her sister's dental records to compare, but never received them.
But then also, how do you get a copy of someone's dental records?
Yeah.
As next of kin, couldn't you go to their dentist and say,
I think you,
I don't know,
as next of kin, you can. Like, we couldn't. We can be like, yo, we want them dental records.
Because I'm gonna try it.
But also, it's
exceedingly difficult to get any kind of records of any kind unless you're a family member, and even then you have to prove it, and it's this whole fucking mess of red tape. It's awful. I was listening to something about it, and basically somebody had tried to get their family's death certificate. Their mother was in a relationship with, but they weren't married. And because of that, that was enough. Yeah. They couldn't get access to the records. So even
who knew?
So yeah, like you've got to be basically it's so that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands and people get rid of them or burn them or whatever.
But the thing is that even if she couldn't get the dental records, you'd think that there would then have been a reply. Like as soon as the policeman said, can you send the
or the police
records?
Could get it. No, you'd think that the police would be able to get it somehow.
Yeah. You'd like to think that she'd have gone, oh, do you know what? We found her, don't worry. You'd like to think she'd have let them know either way. So maybe she died.
Well, and then they go back to like her place, like right. Oh shit!
Another possible identification was that, and this there's a name for this one. Towards the beginning of 1974, there was a 24-year-old woman who was arrested during a drug raid in Pembroke, Massachusetts, called Rory Jean Kessinger. A few weeks after she was apprehended, she escaped from prison, and she matched the description.
How does one escape from prison? I keep hearing about that. I'm like, what, do you just walk out the front door? Well, it just feels so...
Andy
like,
Dufresne used a poster.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and she's seemingly another Stephen King link. She just disappeared after she managed to escape from prison, so no one could find her.
So this is a possible lead.
Some people were. She matched kind of the description.
Have they released the photos?
Some people of that's her.
This is the escapee.
So she was 24 years old and escaped from prison and then just vanished.
It could be her. I mean, it looks pretty. You know, that's similar.
Generic. But they were able to determine via DNA.
I mean, it's white people in it. They all look pretty similar.
They determined it wasn't her because
the
of
the DNA.
She ran away from home when she was 15, and she robbed banks and used drugs and went by 5 different aliases. And it's possible she made up a new identity to start over after she broke out of jail. But due to the similarities between the lady of the dunes and Kessinger, they compared DNA from the unidentified woman found in the dunes with a sample collected from Kessinger's mother, and didn't match.
Okay.
So she's out.
So they were thorough, though.
So it's not her. Basically, in 2000, somebody confessed.
Ooh.
Oh. Hi, like Mystery on the Rocks? Sure you do. You're not an idiot. So why not come to one of our live shows? That's right, live shows. They won't be available as a podcast. The only way you can hear both of them is via watching them live on the 9th and 16th of February at the world's greatest comedy club, the Bill Murray in Islington. 3 till 4 p.m. Go on angelcomedy.co.uk and book a ticket now, because they are already selling, which frankly is not a shock because they're going to be so good. See you there, Zeus.
That was fantastic.
Cheers, everybody.
Aren't they the best?
This is a Blood and Sand.
Whoa. Oh, that's amazing.
Why have you chosen that?
So this is, you've got scotch, you've got orange juice, you've got cherry liqueur, and you've got, what's the other one? Why do I always forget one of the ingredients?
So you got sweet vermouth.
Sweet vermouth.
Cherry liqueur.
Cherry liqueur, scotch, and orange juice.
Mm. Ooh.
And it's equal servings
strong,
of each.
Isn't it?
So it's three, Jenny. Three quarters of an ounce of each.
You're right, Jenny. Is it a lot?
Don't you think it's lovely? I think that's lovely.
I think it's a lovely, lovely strong drink.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty powerful.
See, we drink two every Tuesday, so I'm kind of like, yeah, lovely. It's like,
yeah, all right.
It's like people who are used to like eating oysters and stuff. They're like,
They don't even appreciate them. They're just like, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Jenny's acting like a teenager having a cigarette for the first time.
How'd
you get used to it?
I'm going to be the drunkest person at the Ariana Grande concert.
Oh, my God.
And the oldest. And
Jenny's going to see Ariana Grande tonight.
And I can't fucking wait.
This actually does have history. This is
Oh, does it? What's the history?
So it's from the old Waldorf Astoria cocktail book, which is a book made from the hotel of the same name. And it featured in a film. It was in a 1922 film. It's from a bullfighter movie, the 1920s bullfighter movie, which I cannot find the name of. That's the only piece of cocktail history you might actually get out of me, because most cocktails, as I keep saying on the show, is like, my granddaddy actually invented that cocktail. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, this goes down far too nicely.
It's so good.
For a 1920s drink as well, which you all expect to be like absinthe and gin. It's like, yeah.
This is pre-prohibition.
It's very tasty.
So it's they just went all out.
And I respect them for it.
What was that?
I have no idea.
I think, Jenny, you're more drunk than me. I don't know how. Oh, we've had the same drinks.
Haven't eaten that much today. Also, just remember, my granddad
made that cocktail.
Head cocktail barman, or whatever it's called.
What's he?
Cocktailia.
Cocktailia.
Head cocktailia at the Connaught.
Do you want to see a picture of the guy that confessed?
Yes.
Please don't say that it's me.
He looks like Bob Mortimer.
He looks like
Ronan
Keating.
He does, actually.
In a dodgy wig.
Confessed. He didn't say nothing at all.
Is a guy called Haddon.
Thank you.
That was bloody good.
That deserved a big fall off the seat.
We should give you more for that. That was really good.
It was like a ninja joke. It was just like that.
It's almost like we've gone in the break. I'm going to say he looks like Ronan Keating, and then you can say.
Yeah, you guys said it.
He didn't say nothing.
No, not at all.
No,
I can verify that wasn't the case, because I literally just showed them the picture.
And Zeus is that clever and funny.
I'm so clever and funny. Jenny's really drunk.
The guy that confessed, they don't take his confession seriously.
I'm not surprised. They took one look at the barnet and went.
He's a convicted murderer. He's a serial killer.
Well, with that haircut,
But he was so gregarious with showing details about his other crimes and leading the police to where his victims were buried. He won't say anything about this one, she was or anything. So they're like, well, you know, why are you sharing this? The reason he says that he won't share who it was is because he was mistreated by the police.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, right.
That would never happen.
That's where he draws the line. He kills a whole bunch of people. Like, the police were quite mean to me, so I'm not going to tell them anything.
He says, I could have told the police what her name was, but after they beat the shit out of me, I wasn't going to tell them shit.
Ooh. Two uses of shit, though. Not
I know,
effective.
A bit lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, writer, I reckon that's a written quote. I reckon he probably stammered a lot more.
Yeah.
I could have told them what the
Can I just name say, was, I don't think we should make fun of stammerers. Gareth Gates was a very good man.
I shared a lift with Gareth Gates in the Malmaison in Birmingham.
Did you?
I've been there.
I turned to. Don't you think it's weird? The Malmaison.
Birmingham or the Malmaison?
For anyone that hasn't.
Malmaison in Birmingham.
For anyone that hasn't been to a Malmaison, they are marketed at people having affairs. Like they don't.
Really?
Like the lighting isn't. Like the lighting's dark all the time. And
so that you could accidentally slip it in and go, I didn't know. I thought it was my wife.
And all
it was my wife.
You invited me here.
Yeah.
And you know, you're Edinburgh.
And the things you put on the door are always like, shh, do not disturb.
Shh, don't
Time for sexy time.
I thought all hotels are basically that. It's just that all other hotels are like, yeah, we know what you're up to, but you're like, that's on you. We're not going to fucking set it up.
When Masood walks into a travel lodge to stay on his own, it's like on the M6 or
can
whatever.
Can I pay by the hour?
And like, yes, of course you can, Mr. Mullis. Will it just be you tonight? He's like, well, that remains to be seen. And it is.
It is. It's just him. It's always
Masood. Masood sat in the room going like, they probably think I'm having an affair.
And I say that out loud to myself while Life on Mars is on TV. I'm like, yeah.
Hey, I'm going to dress like that guy.
he's not wrong.
Oh, I really like the idea of Masood just sitting in a travel lodge thinking everyone thinks I'm having an affair. It's a bit embarrassing. Doesn't even have a wank. Just in a hotel.
Fully clothed, sat there. Yeah. Blue bin bag full of tins. I'm going to have these later, but first,
a friend of mine ran dance workshops for a company in schools. These dance workshops in schools. So you go in and you do these dance workshops with kids, but you stay in a hotel the night before because the dance workshop starts at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
And he said, I went to the hotel and I had 4 gin in a tin and I just drank them in the hotel. And then I put the empty cans in my bag because I just went, oh, I forgot to put them in the bin, blah, blah, blah. And he got to the school and they say, can we see your ID? And he,
incredible.
He opened his bag and just immediately 4 tins fell out that had been on top. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I felt like going, I've been a victim of sabotage.
These aren't my gin and tonic in a can.
Gin and tonic? No. And I said, you should have just put them in. He went, I know, but I just saw them there and went, oh, well, I better put these in my bag. But I can't remember.
What's the hotel going to do? Be like, well, you've been drinking. I ordered a pizza in a hotel and left the box there on the bed.
I dropped very brown Chinese all over the
duvet
in a hotel.
That you said Chinese.
I've done that one.
It was chow mein and the stain it left on the bed. I was like, well...
Yeah. I
wrote a note though saying this is soy sauce, not poo.
And that just makes it sound like it is shit.
Definitely poo. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the person would have been like, I mean, should we smell just to make sure? Should we just have a little whiff?
The guy that confessed, he was called Haddon Clark, still
Haddon.
Alive. Haddon.
HADDON.
HADDEN.
Oh, HADDON is a really nice name.
HADDON.
Or is it a bit like Haddock? Yeah, no. I
can imagine a kid at Harvard being called Haddon.
Haddon, yeah. Well,
I'm Haddon Princeton the Third.
He confessed, but they don't take his confession seriously. But also, he told them everything about his other crimes, but not this one.
Yeah.
And so it was just a
non-confession.
I mean, like, his crimes are awful. In fact, he killed one woman and then dressed up as her and left her house so that people would think that she'd left her.
Oh, my God, like Robert Durst.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Mary's looking a little... What, pudgier? Yeah, pudgier.
Mary's got very masculine gait today.
Yeah. And so he could lead police. totally confess to crimes. As soon as they were like, we think you killed this woman.
Mm. He's like, yeah.
He leads them to... He's like, yeah, no, I totally did it. I'll show you where I buried her.
But he wouldn't with this.
But he couldn't.
He just wanted all the fame and the glory.
It's a common thing also among serial killers if they know people who did killings who will talk to them in prison will kind of relay stories as their own.
And they really claim them. No, why? Do they want to go back inside? Or?
Well, it's... So there's this guy...
Listen
to this this thing called this huge series about this guy called Ed Edwards who they believe they believe he's one of these guys because he confessed to a lot of murders, like he confessed to being the Zodiac killer and and apparently though he was in prison at around about the same time that maybe the Zodiac killer might have been in prison, they might have allegedly been cellmates or known each other, and so he might have known some
score
details of the killings because he might have told him. So this was a suspect of the Zodiac killings, but also that was one of those cases that was very widely reported that everyone knew. Oh shit. Everyone knew all of the details for, so I kind of want every scary thing I say to be scored by that.
Yeah, it can be. I've got a piano.
I think you're underusing Sue's, but that's my input.
Oh, that's it. That's all. I'm done.
That sounded so like 10 times spookier.
And then topped off with that.
Well, that sounded then like an advert for a furniture store.
At DA Fest, our sales go on and on.
So our man is not our man. We don't think that he's the guy.
Our man is actually a friend of mine who we both got dogs and I met him in the park.
He's called our man?
He's called our man. Arman.
You shouldn't talk to him anymore, Jenny. That's not a dog. It's a bit of
it's a dog called Armand. The owner's called Armand.
He's just got some old chips on a bit of string, and he's like, "Hey, I'm my dog." Like, oh, it's Armand.
What's going on?
I'm not sure, but I'm kind of enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. So our guy is not our guy.
Our guy's not our guy. Chris, have you solved it?
Yeah, my theory goes back to the woman that escaped from prison.
So you don't think it's Jaws Lady? I really want it to be Jaws Lady.
Maybe it's Jaws Lady. No, my point is, I don't think the woman that escaped from prison is the Lady of the Dunes.
Oh.
I think she killed her.
Oh, shit. People are all saying it's a man.
I think she killed her. Because then people would stop looking for her.
Well, okay.
I think she escaped from prison and is like, well, if I turn up a body that looks a bit like me,
yeah,
maybe they'll stop looking for me.
That's fucking smart, actually.
That is pretty smart.
That's really smart.
It makes me think that you think like a murderer.
And so she was like, ah, but my fingerprints aren't the same. Whack, the hands off.
Yeah.
Oh, the teeth aren't the same.
Do you think she said that when she did that? What?
She went, whack, her hands off.
I think she did a YouTube tutorial about how best to take them off.
She did go forearm, which also, I think, interestingly, on the right, was it the right side? Up to forearm.
Mm-hmm. No.
So there's probably some, I imagine, some.
Maybe a tattoo?
Like a scar?
Yeah, something. Identifying.
Can I ask one question? And this is a genuine question. I don't mean to sound like an idiot. You know how you've got fingerprints on your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a
Question.
Is there a follow up question?
Yeah. This is a two-parter.
Do you get them on your feet?
Like
toe
prints.
Apparently we do.
Yes. I don't think there's a toe print database.
That's the thing. Yeah. So while you do have
problem.
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine that? It's like, all right, your toes too, please. And you got to dip them in the pads.
What you've done there is you've highlighted the pivot on which the first episode of Jonathan Creek hinges. Because somebody shoots somebody with their feet instead of their hands. So the fingerprint, the prints on the gun don't match any fingerprints.
Oh.
So what they do is they take the bathroom scales of the person they think did it,
and then
they cross-check them.
If he hadn't been so obsessed with his weight, we'd never have caught him.
there we go. Maybe they do need a database.
But you are right. There's no toe print database.
Yeah, they need to do feet. Zero toe. I mean,
yet.
Yet.
Yeah. What about all the foot murders?
My theory is that the woman that escaped from prison isn't the victim, but she made she killed the victim to make it look like
that.
So that people would stop.
Really nice.
People would then stop looking for her because she wasn't to know that they were then going to go to her mum and cross check the DNA and it.
No,
be ruled out.
No. Yeah.
And then she killed her mum.
Oh shit. Jenny, you have any theories?
Yeah, my theory is it was something to do with Chubby Brewster or whatever his name was.
Who are you talking about?
Whitey Bulger.
Whitey Bulger.
Chubby Brewster.
That sounds like a chain of restaurants.
Who the fuck is Chubby Brewster? Listeners, if you know who the fuck Chubby Brewster is, please. Who's Chubby Brewster?
That guy you were talking about, Whitey.
Whitey Bulger.
Whitey Bulger. Yeah.
Chubby.
Effectively,
Jack Nicholson in The Departed.
Thank you. I think it was probably something to do with him and his gangs. I think the murderer was part of Whitey Bulge
in Chubby Brewster's.
Chubby Brewster's gang. But it was a woman who then went to fuck with people's minds in the future by being an extra in Jaws. So she dressed in the same thing.
Oh my god.
She had a little surgery to look like the
so that she could look like the lady.
Yeah. And she just knew everyone would have a lovely time in 2015 thinking about it.
That's amazing.
And she's
like she knew that the body was going to turn up at some point and then went dressed as her in the film and made sure she was seen on camera.
She's like Chubby Brewster's number one.
No!
What
if it was a whole thing where she was like, hey, how are we going to make sure this woman is seen to be alive later on? On film.
Oh shit. You gotta dress up.
You've gotta dress up as her and go on film. Go. Hey Jenny,
that's pretty damn good.
I really like it.
What I really like most is that not everybody plays along, but Jenny was like, I've gotta get this right. I need
Chubby Brewster.
Yeah.
the renowned Irish mobster Chubby Brewster.
Oh, Chubby.
I'm back into this. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Like, that's why and then it did take take 40 years for somebody to spot it, but somebody did spot it.
Yeah.
It could have been like this thing where they were like, we need an alibi. This woman needs to be seen alive.
Yeah.
And that's your damn alibi.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Mine's only a step. I do believe.
Was
that,
she a spy?
Were you gonna show that anyway?
She's a, I think
oh,
she's
yeah,
a spy.
Good idea. Jenny.
I think she got a bit too close to knowing something with the good old Whitey slash Chunky Brubster.
Chunky Brubster.
Whatever the fuck his name
this
is.
This guy's
now.
Got so
Chubby
many names.
Brewster.
Chubby Brewster and
Choppy Brewster.
I think he did offer, but then he got two of his lackeys to go and dump her body.
He got Leonardo DiCaprio to do it. Mark Wahlberg and Leonardo DiCaprio were undercover doing it.
Yeah.
Ooh, so they popped up.
There's
a bit in The Departed where he tells them to go and dump the body in the marshes.
Yeah. So it's like that. They just and they've watched too many cop films, so they go like, "Oh, let's just retrace our steps so no one thinks that we came here."
To be fair, the reports only say two footsteps were leading up to the body. It doesn't say whether there was any coming back.
Yeah, so then they would have.
Yeah. So I don't know whether they retraced or whether or not there were footsteps leading away, but they didn't mention
it. But they had little tennis rackets on their feet and they just didn't make it.
What, like in Looney Tunes cartoons when they walk on stage?
That's
what
I was thinking of. The whole way.
Yeah.
But are there any handprints? In other words, there are handprints.
Could you not sort of like, you could hide your steps on sand by doing gambols the whole way?
I will.
What gamble?
Oh, like a forward roll the whole way.
Gambling.
You want to try that carrying a body?
No. You walk carrying the body, right. And then you gamble away.
I mean, is that what a forward somersault's called?
In Chris's world.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. A somersault is like a proper sort of like leave
it's
the
a
ground.
Flip. Yeah.
Forward
flip.
Chris, did you used to do gymnastics as a kid? You look the type.
Yeah. I used to do highboard diving.
Yeah, of course you
did. Oh my God,
did.
Of course you did.
I mean, I'd like to see.
That's mental.
I'd like to see.
We need a show on that.
Renowned mobsters having after killed somebody and dumping a body, then just roll like
that. Rolling away.
Away.
But it's a Scorsese film, so they're like, oh, chill. It's just a shadow away, and the forward rolling away.
Hey, we're gonna put that in our BBC Three.
100%. That's so brilliant. So oh my God.
And now we shall demonstrate how they got away with musical accompaniment. Rape, murder. It's just a kiss away. It's just
they're just
kiss
doing the little
away.
Rolls.
So do you have a theory?
Do you have a theory?
Yes, I do. Here is, I solved it. Dig her up again, the lady of the dunes. Let's find out who she is. But there aren't any leads. We'll figure it out. Time to exhume. Yep. Still got no hands. Ooh, but beautiful teeth. Found Wrangler jeans under her head. It was a truly grim pillow. Whitey Bulger might have made her dead, but press pause on that Blu-ray of Jaws. Hello. Hello, runs with pillow. Freeze frame, Wrangler jeans and bandana. Stephen King's son knows what to look for. A confession happened. Did he unhand her? Bandana rhymes with unhand her. I haven't made the rhyme scheme very clear, actually. I felt more clear written down, but I should get a lot of love for this.
It's very good.
Thank you. Or should we concentrate on the shark called Jaws? Time for the last verse. I think we'll slow it right down. Just like the last 30 minutes of The Irishman, a film I saw on Sunday night. Blood and sand, the confession wasn't true, man. This woman and her killer have left their mark. I figured it out. The killer wasn't a man or even human. What? This woman was killed by Jaws the shark in a drinking game gone wrong. The woman was Amelia Earhart.
Hey. Nice. Thanks so much for coming in, Jenny.
Oh, I've had a lovely time. Thank you so much. Thanks for a lovely drink and a half.
Yeah.
would have liked you.
Anything exciting coming up?
Got any American listeners?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing my Edinburgh show in November and LA.
Edinburgh's not
no,
in...
I'm doing my... No, I'm doing my show in LA and New York in November.
That's amazing.
Oh, cool.
Just one of each. Go on my Twitter, please.
Two okay. cities, lovely tour.
One caveat, I don't think this will go out before November.
Then have a lovely Christmas.
Follow Jenny on Twitter.
What is your Twitter?
Jenny Bead.
My Twitter is at Jenny Bead, B-E-D-E.
Be yes. a Beadophile. Join us.
Suze's head. And yeah.
Is that the same on Instagram and all across all the
yes.
socials as well?
Yeah. And the socials. I will be doing a new material night, which Suze will be doing on the December the 4th, if, the, yeah. if we are out in time with that.
We might be.
The Islington Tap Room. If not, again,
matching shirts,
lovely
matching
Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you for having me.
Holiday season, wrap up warm. It's so hot in here.
It is. It might be cold outside, but it's fucking summer in here.
But
it's
don't
nuts.
Forget, guys, you can follow us on Twitter at Mystery on the Rocks, ROXX. Go and give it to you because we ran out of characters at Mystery on the Rocks or on Instagram at Mystery on the Rocks with an X.
If you're really mad and you wanted to send us an email,
yeah, Mystery on the Rocks CKS, like a fucking human would spell it, at gmail.com. You lucky little shit.
I'm gonna email you guys.
Also,
please
email. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe the show if you like it, subscribe to it, fucking, you know, leave
tell
some reviews.
Friends. Tell don't your friends. Keep it a secret.
Tell their friends to tell their friends. And then if you hate it, go fuck yourself.
We don't care. Also, send us free booze. We will drink it. We won't check if it's strychnine. We'll drink it.
Yeah,
so if you want to kill us, fine. We just like free stuff.
That would be great.
Don't
that would
kill
be
us.
Really good. Please don't
kill
us.
Got a lot of life ahead of me. It's I'm very, very, very young.
Chris, you were going to say something?
I don't think it was.
Oh, okay.
Never, ever. Should
was.
We go and get some like bread and olives or something?
That sounds like a good idea.
Blood and sand, bread and olives. Oh, fuck
hey,
you.
Do you know what, Masood? If you served bread and olives in here, we'd be able to stay in here.
That is a really good idea.
Get a food
but,
license.
I'll have to get a food license for the bar, of course.
Okay,
to
well.
To make sure that happens.
Do you know what you could do? Because you're so cool.
Yeah.
Your food hygiene rating could be high five.
Oh, high five. I like it a
hot
lot.
Chips. And also,
hot chips.
That's it. That's a show. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Carry on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.